I hope the astonishing applause for Henry does not eat into my own time.
No, but...
And nor should the following, which is in the form of a public information announcement. Does any of you breed pugs? I ask because Henry's savage threat is undermined by my nationality. He forgot I was Irish. Do we care about animals? So I'll sacrifice my pug, but I have to warn the editor of The Guardian that if mine goes, his goes too. And I don't need surveillance to know where he lives. Now, don't go on that website. I'm not going to thank you for having me. The website is a shrine to Henry. As I walked in behind Henry, people trodding over me in their desperate urgency to get to Henry, to have him sign one of his books, to get a comment from him. So I know I'm at something of a disadvantage here, and I crave the opportunity, without too much heckling, to be able to communicate something which is slightly different in order to facilitate a platform denunciation of even greater elegance than the one that he gave, anticipating what I would say, reluctant to listen to me before he attacked. There is, obviously, and I'll come back to it at the end, an anxiety about technology, an anxiety about DNA, an anxiety about the way we appear to be losing control of our lives. But the left has not invented these technologies. The left historically has to learn how to manage them. And I want to return to what we mean by liberty and what we mean by liberty in the context of the challenges of surveillance, a surveillance which Henry has so, in his own way, interestingly indicated has potential for misuse. An enemy on paper who is owner of a canine. But first, David, not yet a police state. Now, acknowledged by Henry that it started in the 1980s, and I remember the 1984 book was preceded by a whole lot of anxiety about 1984. The Police and Criminal Evidence Act was then thought to be evidence of our decline into a police state. The period of Thatcher culminated in the 300th anniversary of the Glorious Revolution of 1688, which in turn precipitated lots of books along the lines of What Price Liberty, Time for Renewal, We Are a Police State, Nearly. We have to be very careful about being constantly on the verge of being a police state without ever becoming one. And we need... there's been some heckling from the extreme right. Did you want to say something witty, David?
I was
it's so rare, we should give it every opportunity.
I was wondering, Connor, whether you're about to make an argument for consummation on this.
Good job, you were away from the microphone. The technique of somebody who doesn't make a good joke is not to be heard. There is a serious lack of proportionality in allegations about casual corrosions of fundamental liberties, because I have searched for the golden age of liberty in this country and not found it. I wrote a book with a colleague about the 1980s and how dreadful they were. And then I wrote a book about the interwar period with the same colleague, how dreadful they were. Then I looked up the 19th century and found that the police just more or less shot you. And then I looked up the 18th century and found that they hanged you. I am in search of the golden age. And it's a very dangerous myth in our culture to assume that there was a time when you left your house unlocked with a huge sign saying, if you want to use the outdoor loo, please do so. All my children are in the front room, give them a lollipop on your way out. This time did not exist. This time did not exist. The lack of legislation was the evidence of its non-existence. What happened was the police did what they wanted under common law or local authority rules which were uncontrolled. There was no accountability. Or before that, the military did what they wanted. It was much more of a police state. Legislation. Thank you. I shall pause if there's the possibility of a piece of... You have no idea how much that cost me. Legislation is sometimes evidence of the opposite of what it is believed to be. It is evidence of accountability. There's a case called Laporte in the House of Lords, where the House of Lords ruled that breach of the peace powers were not available to the police because of legislation, which had controlled the exercise of the discretion. Now, I am not here to defend police abuse of power. I am here to try and inculcate a little bit of proportion and maturity and historical context into the discussion. because there is a tendency to exaggeration which loses the audience. Now, liberty. Three things before I'm told by a rather intervening type chair, Georgina, whom I'm already slightly afraid of. What do we mean by liberty and where does the left stand on it? Three things. One, physical freedom. The left is not afraid of locking people up, but it should be reluctant to do so. And this government has been far too willing to do so in its mad pursuit of extremist Toryism. This left That was when he was Saul and not Paul. That's when he was David in office and not out of power. We should guarantee procedural fairness before we lock people up. That's a left position which we've sadly departed from. So let's not lose a left position on that. Let's not also lose a left position on political freedom. Political freedom is of vital importance to the left. It wasn't always so. There is a strain in the left which denies the importance of political freedom. An historically disastrous mistake was the inability to think through the implications of civil liberties for the delivery of socialism, and a desire to go down a Leninist and then Stalinist route, which saw civil liberties as not a necessary precondition to socialism. They are. The civil liberties was a left-wing position in the 19th and early 20th century because they underpinned democracy, and it was believed that democracy would produce equality, which is a classic left-wing position. That allows us to defend the state. The civil liberties position in the 1930s was to demand a Public Order Act enacted in 1936, to demand it to protect the left from Mosley. It was then understood that it was sometimes necessary to act to control speech in order to protect your society. The issue is one of whether you can do it effectively. It is not one where you object to it in principle. Thirdly, is personal liberty. Not physical freedom, not political freedom, personal liberty. And this is the core of the anxiety we face. We want to believe that we are autonomous persons, able to make life plans, able to engage in decision-making independently. And we feel threatened by the technology that we've heard about today. Of course we're threatened. We can't uninvent it. We have to know how to manage it. Now, the left should value personal liberty. Of course it should. The left, however, should be sensitive to inequality. The left should never accept that it's liberty on a playing field that is unequal. The left sees equality. I didn't pay you any money at all, sir. See me. The left sees liberty and equality as two primary goals. And yes, because of that, the left should be suspicious of the kind of commitment to liberty which says, me alone. Don't come into my castle. Don't stop me speeding. If I want to commit an offence, don't enable me to be caught. A left position is never a libertarian position. You know, we heard about the 1930s with the foundation of the National Council for Civil Liberties, 1933 to 34, to protect marchers from being beaten up by the police. There was a different version of liberty promoted by the rich and powerful then. There was an iconic Lord Chief Justice, Lord Hewart, who wrote a book in 1929 called The New Despotism, blathering on about the welfare state, blathering on about Big Brother, because he wanted to preserve his privilege. So did Dicey before him. There is a long tradition of a commitment to liberty, which is a commitment to the preservation of inequality. And the left should have nothing to do with that. I'm going to stop now. Thank you very much.